Our reading today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, which can be found on page 1014 in the Church Bibles, beginning at verse 17. The rich young man. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied. "No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age: homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the word of the Lord.
If you could have picked a less challenging passage there. I thought, yes, I'm going to St. Mary's. Oh no, the rich young ruler. There's so many challenges, aren't there? I mean, firstly, the thing about the New Testament is it actually says what it is on the tin. And secondly, some tin. Of course, sometimes I think, well, it's for rich people, isn't it? We're not rich, are we? Well, I think one of the first saddening insights with this piece is that in a world in which 1 billion people lack access to the most basic fundamentals of life, and in which so many people in this country go generation upon generation without adequate provision or the prospect of work, that nearly all of us in our context are rich beyond measure compared to those who were one crop from starvation in the world of Jesus. And then there's that fearful phrase about camels and eyes of needles. And I've been most of my life doing fearful calculations as to how big is a camel and how big is an eye of the needle. Doing a feasibility study to see if there's any way through this one. Some scholars say that the eye of the needle was a reference to a particular small gate on the way out of Jerusalem. But it was still awfully small. And the majority of camels I have sampled are awfully big. Does this mean that we have to give everything away to get into the kingdom of God? How much can we keep in the percentage or absolute terms? These are the questions I shall be addressing in the second half. I think, in essence, there is terrible power to money, and I do want to confront this today and to outline a few ways in which we can make money our servant and not our master, in which we can break the power of fear of coming to want. And my prayer, as I was reflecting on today, is that God, through his Spirit, will point on to those things in our lives and smash those things in our lives upon which we really put reliance. Very struck, actually. I heard it many times, but I was listening to Mary just now. Those who trust in riches. Never really struck me before. But we trust in all sorts of silly things, don't we? We trust in our intellects. We trust in our possessions. You know, I look back on my life and I absolutely cringe. I look back, God reminded me of a time in my 30s before I sort of took faith at all seriously or met Jesus. And being a little chap and totally insignificant, I used to like really big cars. And I bought a second-hand Jaguar XJ6, which is a totally ridiculous thing. And it was the very bottom of the range, so there were two problems. I think the engine was 2.4 litres, so it would go downhill well, but it wouldn't actually go uphill. And, you know, you'd say to a girl, you know, let's go down to the coast, we can always come back by train. And the other thing was, the seat would go forward and back. Because it was basic, you couldn't height adjust the seat. So I couldn't quite see out. And I have vivid memories of driving down on a sort of lap of honour, driving down the Goyt Valley in Derbyshire, and seeing a group of hikers sort of virtually jump into the River Goyt to escape this unmanned Jaguar that was trailing towards them. But I think if we were all brutally honest, we can probably point to things that we have relied on and things that we do rely on to define our worth. And Jesus says, I sense he is saying to us all today, give these to me. There is no such thing as lordship light. If we are to make Jesus not just our Saviour, but our Lord, if we are to be transformed and given heavenly riches beyond our wildest dreams, then it's time to confront these impediments and to offer them to him. And he may offer them back in different ways and in great abundance. But today, I think he's saying to me and to us all, give these things to me and let me show you what I can do in your life.